All right. Well, obviously, if we're standing here today and this is the first Sunday of 2016, and probably like a lot of us, we can look back on 2015 and I've heard different comments about it. I've heard a couple people say, boy, I'm glad 2015's over with. I'm ready to move on to a new year. Hopefully there's something better. And perhaps for others here, it was a very good year, and you're like, yeah, I don't know what they're talking about. It was a great year for me, and I think for me, it was kind of a mixed bag. Thinking back on this last year, obviously it was exciting because the church made some real strides forward. We were able to finish up our expansion project and a lot more room to work with, and you know, I don't know if I've ever been so excited about bathrooms in my life, but I like, you know, being able to go into bathrooms that actually have space. And God is blessed. We've been able to do some great things. But there's also been some difficulties that kind of broke my heart as well. As a lot of you know, we're dealing with some stuff as my dad's getting older and some of his health issues and some of those things that have hit this year that we've had to walk through, and then there's been things that have hit different people in the church, that have things that some of you have gone through that has really broke our hearts. But there's also been great victories. There's been healings. There's been great things that have happened, and God's done a lot. And I truly am looking forward to 2016. I cannot say this enough. I really believe that it's going to be a great year. I believe that God's going to do some amazing things in the church. I think we're going to see this is the year that as we've made that step of faith to launch into two services, I believe this is going to be a year we're going to begin to see both services look pretty full. I think we're going to continue to see growth and things happen, and God's active and He's moving. I believe that the Holy Spirit's presence is going to continue to intensify, because there's a group of people in this church, whether or not you're a part of it, there's a good, strong group of people in this church that are determined to see a move of God, that are praying for it, that are fasting for it, that are meeting on a regular basis, calling on God for a genuine move of His Spirit. And as long as we do that and approach that with a right heart and a right attitude, I believe we will see results, because I believe God wants to pour out His Spirit more than we want Him to. And He's just waiting for us to be obedient, do what we need to do. I believe we will see miracles. I believe we'll see salvations. This last week, it was kind of interesting to me, this last Sunday, just because of the bad weather and the storms and all the things that was taking place last week, and it was pouring down rain, it was cold and all the stuff. I believe that we probably had our lowest attended Sunday last Sunday of the year, and I knew showing up, and I kind of made up my mind, is I'm not going to let it get me down, I'm not going to worry about it, people on trips and all this stuff, and we're just going to go with it. But it was so neat that in the first service last week, we had such a strong presence of the Holy Spirit, and there was a message and interpretation right in the middle of the service, and felt the prodding, stood up and gave an altar call before even preaching message or anything, and we had two people give their life to Christ last Sunday. So just a neat deal. Two people that were in town visiting, they were there with family, and just from the very beginning, God's presence just got a hold of their hearts. And as I stood up to transition, I could see them crying, and it was just, there was one of them that was sitting right back over here that he couldn't get out fast enough to get to the altar. So I love when God does those kind of things. And so I believe we're going to see those things happen. I believe that this will be a year that we will see our faith challenged. But I also believe that this is the year that we'll begin to see the Holy Spirit rise up and meet that challenge in a very powerful way. So my question is, how do we prepare for this next year? I've given this message the title, the 2016 Survival Kit. You know, how many knows that there could be some instances that we need some things? We need to know how to make it on this journey that we're about to start. This is the first Sunday of this journey. So how do we prepare? What can we do on our part so that God will do His part? How can we do more than survive? How can we move from survival to thrive in this year that lies before us? As I thought about that, my mind went to Psalms 121, verses 1 and 2, where it says this, it says, I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You can stop right there, and I believe that it just says a lot right there, just in those two verses. You know, to me, This message that's in these two verses is the key to our 2016 survival kit. You see, we need to be aware of what's going on and not keep our eyes on our earthly circumstances. How do we know that so many times in life we get going along and things that are happening and things that are going on kind of get our eyes and our attention off of what they need to be on, and we get them on our circumstances, and we get caught up in worrying and fretting and trying to deal with things and trying to work out circumstances in our life, and the whole while God's just saying, just look up, just keep your eyes on me. Look up to the hills where your help comes from. You see, we need to look up above the things that we're facing, and we need to keep our eyes on our destination. There's just something about when you keep your eyes on your destination. I'll never forget many, many years ago now, when I was in driver's ed, one of the things they talked about was, don't steer the vehicle by looking right in front of you, but keep your eyes on where you're headed. Get the big picture. And there's just something about when we can get the big picture, when we look up and we keep our eyes on Christ, that there may be obstacles that we face, but they don't seem quite so big when we're looking at where we're going instead of staring at the obstacle. So Psalm 21 is one of several Psalms in your Bible. If you look at it, you may find a little note somewhere there in your Bible that says that it's a song of the ascents. And basically what it is three times a year, the Jews would make or faithful Hebrew would make a trip to Jerusalem. They'd make a trip to that holy place on certain holy holidays. Three times a year, many of them would make this trek to Jerusalem from wherever they were. And it's it was quite a trip. It actually, Jerusalem is the highest city in that area. So everyone who traveled spent a lot of their time ascending. So it was called a psalm of the ascents, because what they would be doing is they would be walking up to Jerusalem, and it really was an uphill journey. I know we hear stories all the time that people tell about back in the day when they would have to walk to school or whatever, and they make it sound like it was uphill both ways, you know. But this truly was an uphill journey. And so that they would do that, and so this is actually one of 15 different psalms that the people of Israel would sing as they made their way. And those songs served a purpose. I remember as a kid making treks, and we had a lot of family that lived in Mississippi and Alabama, so usually once or sometimes twice a year we'd make that journey, and we'd drive to, you know, be about a 12-hour drive at the time to go see family and so forth. And it was, you know, for a kid, that's a long time in a vehicle, right? And I remember making that journey, and used to love making the trip. Used to love going to hang out with my grandparents and my cousins and all those things. We'd make those trips. It was a great time, but it was a long trip. And so we had to do things to pass the time. So we might sing some songs. We might play some of those little road games you play, you know, using signs, you know, trying to come up with letters of the alphabet off the signs, just the things you do to pass time. And, you know, but back then they didn't have the radio. They didn't, you know, today I watch a lot of kids make these journeys and they're spoiled. They get to watch movies while they're driving, you know, making the track. We didn't have that. Matter of fact, part of our journey was the Mississippi River Bridge. At the time that we used to cross that going up I-30, there was an old bridge that was in place that was built back in, I think, the 20s it was. And so it was a very narrow two-lane bridge, and it also had tracks that ran across the side of it. And it was always the night. I always hated it as a kid. We'd cross it, the big trucks come facing you on these narrow lanes, and then if there was a train on it too, you could feel the bridge shaking as you're crossing that big river. And it just, I had nightmares about that as a kid. But even today, many of the essentials of Christian discipleship are incorporated into these songs. These songs were things, not only were they something to help them pass the time, but they were something that taught them and prepared their hearts as they was making this journey. And in many ways, these psalms, if we read through them, they're kind of a picture of our Christian journey that we have. And so for the purpose of today's message, I want us to look through this particular Song of the Ascents through the lens of our 2016 journey as we ascent to what God has for us in this year. I believe God does have great things for us, and I think that the beginning of a new year is a great time to reflect on what God's done in the past, where you're going. We probably all have our New Year's resolutions. We probably all, you know, probably the number one thing that you hear every year is like, okay, coming off all the holidays and stuff, I'm going to eat right, I'm going to exercise, I'm going to do all these, you know, and Kim and I both made that vow that we're going to do that, and we even bought Fitbits so that we can keep up with our steps and stuff, and so we can, you know, we're determined to do that. And those things are important, but more important is we should look at our journey on this year as a spiritual ascent. We should end this year on a higher spiritual plane than we started the year. That should be one of our goals. And so for them and for us, the ascent wasn't only literal, it was a spiritual picture of their life. You know, I believe that 2016 is going to be a year filled with progress and moving forward, but there's probably going to be, let's be honest, there's probably going to be some setbacks as we walk across the journey. There's probably going to be some obstacles and some things that arise. There's going to be some battles fought. There's going to be some victories won. There's going to be a lot of things as we literally move from one spiritual plane to another as we walk this journey for this next year. And the early Christians used to call, you know, I love that the early Christians, actually, if you look through Scripture, the early Christians used to call this life of being a Christian as the way. And I believe that this year, as we learn lessons along the way, we're going to have our share of good times, we're going to have our share of hard times, but progress will be made if we keep our eyes up and we keep our eyes on where we're headed. So this morning, one of the things I want us to look at as we look through this, we break this apart, is first of all, we need to realize that this is a long journey that we're on. It's not a quick trip. You know, it took discipline for them in this day to make that journey. We had the opportunity a few years ago to go to Israel and to see the Promised Land. You can see it's amazing how we actually went to an area, and I forget the name of it, but it's actually the area that was in the writer's mind when the 23rd Psalm was written, yea, though I walk through the valley of death. There is a trail that literally was considered the valley of death because it was a dangerous part of that journey. It was the part where there were robbers and there were things that could happen. And so it was a part of it. And so, you know, this wasn't a quick trip. And 2016 for us isn't going to be a quick trip. Now, I realize that we probably all have reached, some of us have reached that place in life where for me it seems like years go by faster and faster and faster, and I think we all reach that point. But in reality, on one level it may seem that way, but on another level, we also understand that committing to something for, it's funny how years go by fast, but committing to something for a year seems like a long proposition. But I love what Eugene Patterson said, which is the guy that translated the Message Bible. He said this, he said, discipline is a long obedience in the same direction. See, to complete this journey that God is calling us to for this year, it's going to take some discipline. You know, Kim and I made the determination that we're going to try to eat better and get more exercise and lose some weight and do those things, but it's going to take discipline. That's going to mean when some of you that periodically bring us nice desserts, and we appreciate the thought, that we're going to have to look at those and pass those on to our boys. It's going to take some discipline. But I believe the discipline will be worth it. You see, discipline is obeying Jesus over a long haul. It's making that determination. And if we make our determination today and we decide that 2016 is going to be the year that I make a journey of the ascent, my spiritual life, my walk with Christ is going to be at a higher plane by the end of this year than it is right now, and we set our minds to it and we take a disciplined approach to it, because it's not going to happen by itself. We're not going to just magically say, ooh, I'm more spiritual. It's going to take a disciplined approach. You see, the problem is we live in such a microwave society that we want instant access. We want quick ways of doing things. We want shortcuts. But we're going to be on a journey. And there's going to be times that it may be a struggle. We have to grasp that this life, this part is a journey. And we need to make sure that we're not the ones like the little kids when we used to go take your kids on journeys. We're not looking at Jesus and saying, are we there yet? when the journey is really just getting started. It's going to take some time. See, on one level it does seem like years fly by, but there's a whole year that he wants us to make a commitment to him. Just like the travelers of the ascent of that day, they had to resolve for themselves the idea of the journey being worth the trip. And the only way we make it, the only way that Kim and I are going to follow through on our commitment to do the things that we've said we're going to do for our physical body is that we're going to have to make the determination that the discipline, the journey it's going to take to get where we want to go is worth the trip. If we don't decide it's worth it, then the first thing that comes along, we're going to jump ship. It's the same way in our spiritual life. We've got to make a determination that it's going to be worth the trip. That's going to be worth our effort and our time and the things it's going to take. It's going to be worth sitting aside extra time. It's going to be worth getting up a little earlier in the morning and open up our Bible and praying, as opposed to doing other things. It's going to take a little more effort to say, you know what, I'm going to show up and I'm going to be a part of prayer meetings. I'm going to do the things that I need to do. I'm going to show up for services already prayed up, already asked, having asked God to move, and show up with some expectancy. And it's going to take a little effort on our parts, but we're going to have to, for us to get there, we're going to have to determine that the trip is worth it. Now, I picture them traveling along the road and climbing for a period of time and hitting that place where the journey kind of levels off and that sense of relief coming in is like, oh, okay. Because I know we've joked about, I've never walked more in my life than we went to Israel, because all the roads are so narrow and all the places and there's steps and everything's so hilly and up and down. And you know, if you ever make the trek to go do that, it's well worth it. It's time well spent. It's a life-changing trip to walk those places and realize that places you're standing is where some of the things that you read about, and seeing how it all ties together. When they say they went down to the Sea of Galilee, you know what that looks like. There's just something incredible about that. But I'm telling you, if you ever go make the trip, you better get some walking and some exercise in before you go. Lots of stairs. But on our journeys, and just, I'm sure them, they would reach that place that it levels off and they stop climbing, and all of a sudden they realize, oh, well, there's another hill to climb. There's another obstacle to work around. And many times for us in our life, it's like that. We're walking along and we really want that place of rest. We really want, and we realize that we reach a place where things seem like they're kind of going right, and all of a sudden you realize there's another obstacle to overcome. But if you know that the journey is worth it, and you know that it's going to be a long journey, and it's going to take effort, and you've already resolved yourself to that, and you've already determined that you're going to persevere, and you're going to relentlessly pursue, then you'll find this worth it. I just picture in my mind them doing that, and them climbing, hitting the plateau, and seeing that next obstacle, that next hill they've got to climb, and they begin to break out into song. I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by the day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Can you imagine how that song would encourage them just as they did that moving forward and they took those steps? And as we travel along, as we walk and we hit those times that we in our spiritual life this year, and we say, oh, Lord, not another hill. Lord, now I just got past the other problem that I just, you know, I just stepped over that obstacle. Now I've got something else I've got to work through, something else I've got to pray through, something else that I've got to muster up enough faith to continue on this journey. But when we do that, there's something about we can have that song in our spirit and we begin to worship him even through that process. It's so worth it, you know, that. You know, we may think, well, I don't have another one in me. Lord, I can't make it. But yet he says, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will be there with you. I will make sure that you don't stumble. And he walks with us. And perhaps we reach those moments and say, Lord, will there ever be another season of rest? And while we may have another hill to overcome, we do not, the great news is we don't have to do it alone. In fact, we were never meant to do it alone. The next thing that we see in this is, first of all, that they traveled as groups. They understood the importance of traveling as a group for safety and support. And the amazing, the important thing is, as we walk through our spiritual journey of 2016, as we look forward to what God has for us, we need to realize that we weren't meant to make this trip alone. They were supposed to journey together. It's supposed to be all of us making this trip together and walking and carrying. Galatians 6:2 says to carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Somehow, we've got to get past, and I think this church is pretty good at that, but we have to get past that. I know, just like anybody else, I'm guilty sometimes when somebody comes up and says, I'm going through this and going through that, to say, I'll be praying for you, but then let the busyness of other things really keep me from praying for them like I should. And we got to get past that. So I've started reaching the place where I've just decided, you know what, I'm just going to start, if somebody asks me for prayer, I'm going to stop and pray for them right then. If you call me and say, I need prayer, I'm going to pray for you right then add you to my list, but I'm going to pray for you right then to make sure that I'm true to my word, lifting each other up and carrying one another's burdens. And we need to do that, just like the Kramer family that's going through this. We need to help them, and we have. Just like the McFarland family, we got a neat note from McFarland's daughter, Deanne's living with them because she was in a car accident and she's rehabbing from all that, and they actually have a hospital bed set up there in their main room where they're helping to care for her, and because of the funeral and so forth, that they were concerned about how they were going to get her in and out, and a group of our men went over and built a ramp come out the door to help her get in and out, and we got a message from her. Now, this is a young lady that has not been a part of the church. That the family's been praying for her and so forth. But we got a note from her. She said, you know what, never in my life have I seen a church that is so unified and so cares for one another, that is such a family as I've already felt while I'm staying here. See, that's what it's all about, carrying one another's burdens. I've often wondered, I love the story in Acts chapter 12. Where Peter's thrown in prison and they called an all-night prayer meeting to pray for his release. I've often wondered, what would it take today for people to care enough to show up for an all-night prayer meeting for somebody else? See, that's the kind of carrying one another's burdens. That's what it's all about, is that we realize we're not making this journey alone. You know, the time is our most valuable commodity that we've, and I realize that we hold on to that and we guard our time, but it's never wasted when we give it for the betterment of somebody else, or we give it to carry somebody else's burden or to help somebody along spiritually. It's never wasted. We should always make it a point also to stay within the fold ourselves, not just care for somebody else, but make sure that we stay within the fold. See, too many times we face difficulties, we don't want anybody else, because we've put it out there that we're one of the ones that has it all together. We're the ones that help other people. We don't ask for help. And we let pride get in the way. But we need to understand that as people, as believers, that it's okay. We should be family here. It should be easy to say, you know what, I'm going through a little bit of a difficult time right now. I need some help. And not get so caught up, not let pride get in the way of saying, you know what, I could use a little help right now. I could use somebody praying for me. I could use this. It's okay. The next thing is they knew that they were on this journey together, but they also knew that journey was full of dangers and distractions. There are dangers, as I mentioned. They were walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And for the ancient traveler, harm could come in different ways. And David mentions this in the psalm. He says, what he say? He says in verse 3 that he won't let you stumble. See, a person traveling on foot at any moment on that journey could stumble on a loose stone or whatever. And if you're making that long trek and you're making it on foot and something happens and you're injured, or remember your family is injured, that could be a real burden on the rest of the group. or even their animals. You know, if an animal were to come up lame, that would be an issue for them. And so those things would be could be a major issue. And so that was part of the danger of the journey or the things that could happen on this long journey. But also verse 6 says that the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Now we know that heat was an issue for that journey. But also they had an issue where many times the after people were on this long journey on the road and they were overcome with fatigue and the pressures and maybe anxiety from things that were going on, that they might become emotionally, have an emotional breakdown. They actually had a term for that they called moonstruck, which is why this statement is made, nor the moon by night. That's what that reference ties back to. And so it could happen. So there are those kind of things they face, but yet there was something about traveling in the group, something about having somebody encourage you. You know, if you're just out there by yourself and you're making this journey and the night's dark and it's long and you feel all along, yes, you can have a breakdown, but you have a group of people with you that are sitting there by the fire and there's the safety and the numbers and they're singing these songs to the Lord, reminding themselves together. They're praying together, spending that time together. There's something about that that can help calm and push back some of those dangers. Not to mention the robbers that knew that there were extra travelers during this time. And so they would band together and they would trust God to care for them. You know, 2016 finds us in a dangerous world on an uphill journey. And we had better band together and watch out for one another and lift each other up. We also better be keeping our eyes out and warned of dangers. When we see somebody else facing a danger, it's okay to go to somebody else in love and say, hey, you're kind of headed in a dangerous direction there. Let me help you out. Let me pray for you. There's also distractions. I'm sure that many times in their journey, they came across places that looked tempting to stop and rest. And when you're traveling, and you come along, and there's a bench sitting there, you say, you know what, I'm going to park it right here for a while. I'm not going to continue on my journey. Or maybe we reach the place where, you know what, you're on this journey, and you're traveling, you've got your destination set, you set your goals, you're going towards it, you're working, you're praying, you're going along, and you reach a place where, you know, you say, you know what, I think this is close enough. I think I'm just going to park it right here. I'm going to rest. I'll be comfortable here, and I can complete my journey later. Or maybe we reach a place and say, you know what, I've made progress this year. Maybe I'll make it all the way next year, but I'm going to park it right here. This is good enough. I'll just stretch my hand towards Jerusalem and pray. We try to spiritualize it. And I realize praying at home is powerful and great, but there is something about gathering together in the temple with a group of people. I don't care who you are or how great your prayer life is. You'll see more miracles in corporate prayer than you'll ever see in your own private prayer time. This is just something about when we gather together in His name and we're lifting each other up and we're worshiping in corporate together and we're praying together and we're praying for one another and we've gathered for that purpose. There is just something about that the Holy Spirit's presence becomes so rich and you begin to see more things happen. So yeah. Pray at home. Be a part of that. But there is something about when we pray together and we get together that great things happen. We have to be careful not to let our quest for God become a quest for comfort. See, so many times, I think much of our motivation in our prayer life is, Lord, make me comfortable. We don't frame it that way. But we, Lord, this is going on. And we can't, you know, make that thing more cushy for me. But maybe God's trying to work something out in you. Maybe you're praying, God, Lord, let your will be done in my life. Do work out in me whatever has to be worked out in me. You know, don't let make it about our comfortable. Make it about our destination. I love what Francis Chan has to say. I love reading some of his writings. He said, God doesn't call us to be comfortable. He calls us to trust Him so completely that we are unafraid to put ourselves in situations where we will be in trouble if He doesn't come through. There's just something about when we put ourselves, we hear the Word of God and we say, you know what, I'm going to be obedient to what He says. I realize I am putting myself out there. I realize I've just now put myself in a situation where I don't have a backup plan. Where I haven't thought it through. I haven't got enough money sitting in my bank account just in case this thing falls through. I'm just going to do what He tells me to do. I'm going to be an active being. I'm just going to trust that He's going to catch me. There's something about when we have that kind of faith and we make those steps and we're obedient to what He tells us to do. You know, if you're really following God, I'm going to say this. It's not in my notes. This is free. If you're really following God, there are going to be times He's going to tell you to do something that you don't have the resources to pull off, that you can't make it work on paper. You can't put together the plan. You can't make it happen. You're going to have to rely on Him. But that is the best place that you can be, because you'll find that He does miraculous, miraculous things in those times just to show that, you know what, I've got you. You be obedient, I got the rest of it. You know, they also had to watch out for shrines to false gods and philosophies along the way that I'm sure looked very attractive and didn't require much effort on their part. See, during that time that this psalm was written and sung, Palestine was overrun by pagan worship. Many of their religious rituals were practiced on a lot of the hilltops, and shrines were set up, and groves of trees were planted, and sacred prostitutes were provided. There were all kinds of things that were out there that could be distractions while they were on this journey. We can't let our lives get distracted by the systems of comfort that the world has put in place. And like many of us, you know, there's things in this life that we live in a society where there's all these things drawing us and wooing us and saying, you know what, it'll be more comfortable here. You don't have to go through all this hardship and stuff. Do this, enjoy this life, just relax and enjoy life, you know, do these things and so forth. And there's all these distractions we face. Yes, if you really want to do, if we were picking religions based on how comfortable they were, there's probably religions we could choose that would be a little easier. They won't lead you anywhere. Well, they'll be a little easier to follow. But the truth is, we make this journey because we know that this thing that we're following, what we believe is the truth. And the truth is worth the effort. We can't get distracted by those things. You see, there are distractions around us today, and we may reach a point that we become more comfortable with what the world has to offer than what God offers just because it seems more appealing. But if we do, we're missing out on what we were created to be. You know what? Yes, we can acquire appetite for other things. There's a lot of things the world offers that on the surface look good, taste good, feel good. But they weren't what we were created for. And if we acquire appetite for the ways of God, we're going to have to get fed up with the ways of the world. We're going to have to say no to some things. We have to determine to immerse ourselves into the environment that God meant for us to live in. And it takes acquiring a taste. You know, you don't just pick up the Word of God and say, you know what, I am going to, from nothing, and say, you know what, I'm going to devour my Bible this year. And, you know, it's going to take working into it. But you'll find that even the Word of God, if maybe a little bit, maybe you start out with just a chapter or whatever, but you'll find that over a period of time that it'll just become alive to you. And all of a sudden, you'll just begin to absorb it and want more of it. And it's the same way with spending time in prayer. And God's, you know, you're probably not going to start out praying an hour a day. But from 0 to 10 minutes is a good thing. From 10 minutes to 20 minutes is a good thing. From 20 minutes to half an hour is a good thing. From half an hour to an hour. And just work your way, because you'll find that as you really spend time with Him, you'll find that all of a sudden it becomes something that you long for. Because there's just something about when you have... Now, it's not going to be like that every day. There's days that in my prayer life that it's just... that it's effort on my part that I have to say, okay, today is an act of obedience. Today is an act of determination. But then there are those days that you spend time in prayer, and all of a sudden it's like God's right there in the room with you. and you feel His presence and that encouragement and that direction and that. But you have to set your sights on, there's a goal that I'm determined for. See, we have to open our eyes, look up, and take a deep breath of His goodness and continue toward what we are made to be. And we'll find out, wow, this is the purpose I was created for. Help needed. We need to realize that we need help and find that place of hope that He has for us. There's so much more I want to say, and I'm running out of time this morning. There's a guy by the name of Eugene Lang that was given a chance to speak to a sixth grade class in East Harlem years ago. And he had this opportunity to speak, knowing that his audience, the majority of them were going to drop out of school. And he prayed, and he didn't know what to do. He said, "What am I going to do? What am I going to say that's really going to make an impact on these kids' lives?" And God laid something on his heart that was actually a bold step. But he stood up, and he encouraged them to stick it out and to stay in school and to become disciplined and do the things they needed to do to better their lives. And then he boldly made a declaration. He apparently had more money than I've got, but he made a declaration. He said, for those of you that stick with school and don't drop out, he said, I will help pay for your college. So many of those kids took those words to heart that for the first time ever, that particular sixth grade class had a 90% rate of kids stayed through to graduation. The many of them made this statement. They said, when we heard those words for the first time, I had hope that I could do it. You see, they realized that they needed help and somebody was offering that help and they committed to it. There's something about that we need to realize that we need help, that God cares for us. We live in a day of lies and deceit and violence, and much of it is aimed at what we know to be the truth. It's amazing how much the truth is being shot at today in this time we live in. We speak love and truth and caring for one another and all the things that, you know, since when did that become a bad thing? But yet many today see what we believe as the problem instead of the solution. So we need help on this journey. Daniel was a great example of someone that knew that. He knew that when Daniel chapter 10, verse 2 and 3, he said, at that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat, wine touched my lips. I used no lotions until the 3 weeks were over. He saw the circumstance of his nation. He saw the situation they were in, and he prayed, and he fasted, and he called upon God to do something about it. We know from chapter 10, verses 12 through 13, that 21 days later, an angel shows up on the scene and describes the spiritual battle that took place and how that God had heard his prayer from the very beginning, but there was a battle that took place before the answer actually arrived. You see, we need to realize that we are in a spiritual war, and sometimes it takes us getting on our knees and fighting for a period of time, even though we may not be seeing something on the surface take place. That doesn't mean that there's not something happening in the heavenlies, that the atmosphere is beginning to change around us and things are beginning to being turned over, and if we become determined, we can see those things happen. Ephesians 6:12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Sometimes we have to fight the spiritual battle to get where we need to be. Bottom line is this, as I wrap up this morning. The whole goal of their journey was to meet with God. Our whole goal for 2016. Yes, it's okay to have the being more fit and lose weight goal for 2016. That's fine. That's part of taking care of the temple. But if your number one goal isn't to say, you know what, this is the year I want to meet with God, then you're missing the point. The whole reason was to meet with God. The Bible is full of individuals that looked up from their distractions and the issues that they saw around them and decided that the journey was worth it, so they made the journey. They decided to do it together. They decided to fight for each other. Yes, it cost them, but the reward was great. So So we'll thrive in 2016 if we resolve to finish the journey. We'll make it if we travel together and say, you know what, I'm doing it with the group. We can face the dangers and the distractions if we're unified. And the whole time realizing that we need help. We cannot be a lone ranger. And our number one goal needs to be to meet with God. That's the journey we need to be on for this year. And I know that we're getting close to time, but I want to ask our prayer team to make their way to the front this morning. Those that are in here. If you're here this morning and you say, you know, I hear what you're saying and I want to determine to make the spiritual journey that this year will be a year of ascent for me, but at the same time you realize that you need help, I would like for you to step out and allow us the opportunity to pray with you that God will just help you with your journey. Because I think many of us, at different points in our lives, we've made the determination that I'm going to take steps forward spiritually. But we try to do it on our own. We try to do it under our own power. And we soon find that we kind of lay aside the journey. I know we've all probably laid out New Year's resolutions that we've somewhere along the line said, okay, that was fun for a while, but I'm done. But I also know that God wants us to make this journey. And if we'll say, Lord, I so want this to be a year of ascent for me, but I know that I can't do it unless you help me. We would love to pray with you. If you would, just step out. Give us that opportunity.